Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Well, welcome back. I'm so thankful. April and I had the chance these past couple of weeks to go through some of the stops and cities that Paul was at. Some were absolutely breathtaking and were so deep in their meaning for us as we walked through them, and some we just kind of went, that's it. That's all there is. I can't wait to share with you guys a lot from that trip we learned and a lot from that trip that we brought back with us. And so I hope that you'll make note in your connection of when we'll be together on Wednesday nights to walk through some of that. And I just can't wait to open the Word with you as we walk through those books. By the way, if you're reading along in your Bible reading plan with us, you're going to recognize that really soon, in a few weeks, we're going to be walking through a lot of the books where April and I were, places like Ephesus, Philippi. But right now, in particular, we're finishing out the first chapter, and now we're into, for next week, the second chapter of Corinthians. We got to walk there at Corinth and just take in what the city looked like and how amazing it was in Paul's day to walk through that city compared to what we saw. I want to start with just a question to you. What legacies do you think you are leaving behind? If you were to sit down and take a life's inventory and you were to be putting that before others, let's go back to the days when you and I did science projects and we got that little stand-up cardboard and we put pictures on there. Just imagine with me, if you will, what your legacy would be if you had to put it on one of those boards. Not what you hoped it would be, what it is today. What legacy do you leave behind if tomorrow was your last day? That's where we're going to go in Scripture today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're going to begin opening your Bibles there, maybe one that you had or one in the pew or even on your phone, I want to read with you what legacy really should look like when it comes to being believers after Jesus' heart. So that's where we're going to be together in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The reason I say that is today we're going to end with me taking you back to the trip we just came from. And I want to share what my takeaway was from all of these cities that we touched base in: Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Athens. You name it. We got to go where the Apostle John wrote Revelation. So all these thoughts, I just want to share with you at the very end of today's sermon my great takeaway from this trip. But let's just begin together in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. It says this: if I speak human or angelic tongues, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all of my possessions and I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. And it does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, we open your word, hoping and praying, Lord, that you would take us beyond the text. Lord, not to a greater understanding, but closer to your heart. Lord, we want to be changed by you. We want the word to change our lives. So we thank you that today, as we open your word, that you're going to speak to us and that you're going to change our legacy. Lord, you're going to change the very room that we're in. Because where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. So Lord, would you break us free from the bondage that we carried, from the fears, the doubts, the questions, and lead us to the truth. Lord, thank you that today you are truth, and we can count upon you. In your name we pray, amen. So I looked up the definition for love, and how do we define it? How do you define love? Well, if you looked it up in the dictionary, it is both a noun and a verb, both meaning the same thing, a strong feeling of warm personal attachment or a deep affection, such as for a parent, a child, a friend, or a pet, meaning that the dictionary defines love as equally for a parent as a pet. And for some of y'all, that's true. Crazy people. But here's the problem with that. Is that how you would define love? Because if that's it, if we don't know how to find a true definition for love, then that means that nothing will be love. If we can love a chia pet like we love God, then love is weird. Love is broken. And we can define love however we so choose. This is the problem with love in our culture. You see, everybody wants love because we have heard for forever that's all you need. And it's true, but here's the problem. No one knows what it is. It's elusive. It's like a ninja. Love is random and hard to find and hard to capture. And because of that, you and I live our whole lives searching for love and never finding it. Or if you're like Kenny Rogers, you search for love in all the wrong places. It's the real issue of our time is you and I, when it comes to love, if we who are believers can't define it, how do we know the world needs it? How do we know that it's really genuine? While we were in Greece and Turkey, I discovered something amazing. You see, there's a soft drink here in the States. And in the States, it's just fizzy and sugary and weird. But there, it tastes like juice. And so every time we had opportunity to stop and get a Coke somewhere, that's what I got. And I started drinking it, and then I started telling my friends around me, y'all have got to get one of these. And they're like, it sounds weird. And I'm like, I know, but try it. And so they would try it, and they're like, this is amazing. And then they told people about it because no one knew what they were missing until they had it. Because stateside, when you buy this same soda, not the same. Not a great experience. I mean, okay at best. There, amazing, life-changing. I've actually looked it up online to see if I could buy some to have shipped to me. That's how good it is. I've been home not even a week yet. I'm already looking for replacements. This is love. That once you taste of it, you'll tell everybody else about it and you'll sell everything to get it. That's love. And so to understand love, we have to go to the basis of what it is. How do we know when we've got the love of God? How do we know when we've experienced the love of God? And how do we know that it's genuinely real? When I was a student pastor, I remember our pastor asked me to take our students to a skit. They move all around the country. I'm not going to mention them by name, but big production. moves from church to church, and I took my students in. I remember we set up stairs, and in the production, it scares your students. And it, for me, it tried to scare Satan out and scare Jesus in. And so I had students that were like scared to death at what was happening on the stage, so much so that they got up and moved, only to find that a year from then, they couldn't even quantify if they knew Jesus. They just were scared that night. And I can just remember in my head as students walked to the front and people applauded that movement. And then that next year, being at youth camp with that same student and watching him walk the aisle again and people applauding, and all of a sudden, for the students that I was trying to raise up to be good, godly men and women, they were just moved by moments rather than by a Savior. And I just kept thinking in the back of my head, how many of us have walked an aisle, not because we experienced the love and forgiveness and fulfillment of Jesus, but we experienced applause? You see, if we're going to talk legacy, we got to talk what's left. What will people talk about when it comes to your life? What will they say when ultimately we take our last breath here and our first breath in heaven? What will they say of you that you have left behind? You see, the problem that I see is this. When it comes to what Jesus wanted us to be, the legacy that he hoped that we would leave is love. Because it remains. Love keeps going. It's eternal in nature. Faith, when we get to heaven, will no longer take faith. We'll see Jesus. Hope, we don't have to hope at that point. We will see him face to face. But love is eternally God's nature. And it is what we're supposed to look like. You and I are to mirror Jesus himself. Thus we call ourselves Christians, little Christs, moving around, the most derogatory term they could give the followers of Christ. Oh, look at them, they're little Jesuses everywhere. Oh, only if we were that. You know, I'm always moved by conversations I have as a pastor with people outside of the church. When I'm moved in conversations, the same thing happens. When I shift from a conversation into a Jesus conversation, and I start to ask them questions like, what do you know about Jesus? Or has there ever been a time in your life that you recognized that you were a sinner and that the only way that you and I could be made whole or right is through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? Have you ever had that moment? The next question they genuinely ask me is this: who are you? And I never lie. I never say, you know, I'm a secret agent or, you know, I'm a salesperson, or I always tell them I'm a pastor. And the next thing they say is always the same. Oh, I get it. You have to do this. I can only hope that that's what pastors do. But I just got to tell you something. I don't share Jesus because I'm a pastor. I share Jesus because he's changed me. And so should you. You should share him every opportunity. You know why? Because you have been dipped in the love of God, and it should fall off of you like a gift to the world. They should see love because that's what you've got. You don't bring judgment, you're not called to judge. You don't bring condemnment, you're not the law. You are called to be love in a world searching for its definition. I believe this is the very basis of the human existence, understanding what love is. The whole world is searching for it. They've tried it through money. They've tried it through sex. They've tried it through popularity. They've tried it every single possible way to find love, only to discover that the church has had it kept secret all these years. You see, we don't have a private message. You're a billboard of love. It's beautiful and it's life-changing, and we get to exhibit it every single day. 1 John 4:7 says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Every time I read love, would you say love out loud? Let's start over. "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one that does not love does not know God because God is
love."
God is love. God's love has been revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. God is best exhibited in his character through his love, because he is compassionate and kind and forgiving and merciful. Shouldn't his church look like that? Shouldn't that be what we look like? Like the God that dipped us in love when we didn't deserve it. When I was growing up, I remember at our little pool we had there, there was a sign. And the sign said this, "Shower before you swim." I mean, that was assuming something, but there was a shower there. And every single kid that got in the pool had to shower first. You'd go and you'd pull a chain and ice water would rain upon your soul. And I'll never forget it. Every kid, right? It was just enough water to just kind of sprinkle you because you didn't want to stand underneath it. But see, this is what we are telling the world. Shower before you know Jesus. Change before you see him. You need to do something before you come to Christ. There is no shower needed. Just Jesus. Let him do the cleansing. Don't ask to cleanse first. Don't ever share your faith like this. Listen, you need to come to Jesus, but before you do, that next sentence is sin. I promise you that. It's only Jesus or no salvation. There is no other steps. It's Jesus and him alone, nothing else. So today, if you came and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know something. He loves you. God loved you so much. He sent Jesus because your and our sins, both of our sins, deserved death. But God, being merciful, instead of just saying to you, "Die," he says, "Come and have life." And not just okay life, have it in abundance. Amen. The next thing he does is he takes you, as broken as I am and you are, he takes us and he loves us and forgives us and he starts to change us to look like him. And he gives you a job. You and I together, our job is this: show his love. Amen. This is awesome. That's the gift that he gives us in him. You and I aren't called to stand with judgment in hand and to point and ridicule and scream. We are called to love. Amen. It's what the church looks like. That's how you can know that they are real. You ever remember, there's a genuine fruit of the Spirit. And it has this L word at the first of it. It's what happens when you and I come to know Christ. He starts to gift us from the inside out. And one of those is love. It's what we pass around. It's what we share with the world. It is beautiful. And when life presses in on you and I, when it pushes on us, we get to do something. When squeezed, Jesus comes out. How do we know that we're being changed? Well, when the world presses, Jesus comes out and not us. And when we feel that we have shown up in pressured situations, we need to go back to Jesus and say, "The world pushed me today, Lord, and I showed up. Would you change that in me? I apologize for allowing me to show up when I should be showing you. Help me." And he does. He does every single time. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us this. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our bodies, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may be also displayed in our mortal flesh. When pushed and pressed, the world should see the love of Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift you and I get to have together. Because love has attributes. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 gives us a really good understanding of God's nature. It says this: love is patient. Love is kind. Don't forget something as we read. We've already read that God is love, right? So now read this a little differently with me. Let's go back to verse 4. If God is love, listen to what it says about God. And I'm going to change love to God. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He is not boastful. He is not arrogant. He isn't rude or self-seeking. He's not irritable. God keeps no record of wrongs. God finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. God never ends. When we see the attributes of God's nature and how he exhibits himself, he asks of us that we mimic him with our lives. In John chapter 14, I hope you'll make a note to go back and read John 14 again. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, if anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make his home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus trying to tell his disciples, living in love produces spiritual maturity. Amen. How do we grow up in faith? We live in love. We exhibit love. We show the world love. The world is its own judge. In fact, so that we all know, without Christ, the world lives by the law. And the law judges well. You see, the world is so uniquely broken that it still has to answer to God's perfect plan. And because they are not holy or perfect, their eternity outside of Christ will be spent in a place called hell. But God gave so much love that he made a way, though we didn't deserve it. To exhibit love being built into us through the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. So let me talk to you about legacy one more time. As April and I walked through these cities, there were some, like I said, that were unimpressive. Small, not developed. Some that were breathtaking. That moved you to your soul's core. To think of all the men and women who lived in these towns, who gave their lives, literally their lives, for the sake of the gospel. It moved me, it stirred me. As I looked at these ancient rocks and pillars and buildings, it made me think of all the people that said, though the world comes to take away my life, I will serve Christ. And they lost their lives for it. And because they did, you and I are here in this room today because the gospel kept going. Amen. But I got to tell you, as I looked at these ancient rocks, the legacy is rocks. If that was it for those that visited, like us. You know, we're a group of pastors. We're walking through and being so changed by it. But there's people in the crowd that just came to look at rocks. Because the legacy of places like Ephesus are ruins. But that's not the full story, is it? You see, Ephesus could be nothing today. It could be dirt. But the beauty of Ephesus is there was a letter written to a church numerous times, encouraging them to hold on, to sustain, to keep going, to not give up. Though the world is against you, Christ is for you. And so as we walked there, as we walked through Corinth, as we walked through Philippi, as we walked through Thessalonica, I was just moved to say this: what legacy will my life leave behind? It won't be this building. It won't last. Any of y'all have ever been in a building that's been abandoned for a year, you know grass will grow in the middle of concrete. Within 2 years, the walls will fall in. 3 years, nothing will be left. It'll be graffitied and broken into and ruined. This building is not the legacy of San Jacinto Baptist. This building is not the legacy of the church at Quell Creek. This building's legacy is found in you. In you coming to know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's its legacy. Because one day this will all fade. Faith, hope, gone. But love. Love will remain. And one day you and I, whether we know Christ as our Savior or don't, we'll stand before love. And on that day, we'll have to know, did our love find its source? For me, my declaration will be this: God, in my life, I've committed multiple sins. I've missed opportunities. I have broken your covenant. I have sinned, and like Paul, if he was the chief of sinners, I'm the co-chief. But God, in my life, Jesus came in and robbed me of the brokenness and became the Savior of my life. That's my great love story. That I was rescued though I didn't seek his hand. That I was rescued though I didn't call out. He came and said, whosoever will may come. He who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth will be saved. Amen. Today is your day. Amen. What legacy will you leave behind? It won't be money. It won't be power. It won't be authority. It won't be buildings or cars or wealth. It won't be anything, because it'll all fade away. The only thing that will remain is love. Do you know the love of Christ for you? That's a question we need to ask today as we leave this room. Has there ever been a time in your life, not your pastors, not your churches, not your families, your parents, your siblings, anybody else, your spouse, your kids, you? I want to give you one last thing before I pray. I believe there is people in this room that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I believe you have waited and said, maybe I'm too old, or maybe I'm a dad or a mom or a grandparent, and I can't tell anybody I don't know Christ, because what will they think? Let me just tell you something. That thinking will fade away. Do not think for a second that that matters. Today, if you're in this room and you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it now. Amen. What's more is declared in this room. I needed Jesus and he saved me. Declare it. Make it known so that this church in this room might celebrate it. And I want you to know something. Maybe by you showing that you needed Jesus, somebody else in this room will come to know him and declare him. What if you started it? What if you, for the first time, gave up your pride and gave in to love? And you started something that could never be extinguished. Legacy of love. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray in this room for people that need to know you. God, I pray that you would stir their hearts. God, I pray that these next few moments that no pride or anything else would stand in the way of them knowing you and declaring you as Savior and Lord. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Lord, I pray that right now in pews all over this building, people are doing just that. Lord, I need you. I've sinned and I'm far from you, but today you can save me. Lord, would you do it now? Lord, that you would do just that. Not too far gone, not too old, not too known. Lord Jesus, we need your salvation. So Lord, would you send the compassion, mercy, and love of Christ upon this room, that people would be saved today. God, I pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus, the name of love. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.